excitement going on there.
Scores! Roll the highlight reel. 6-0 Flames.
Eckers, put it in the wind column.
Yeah, baby, yeah, baby, yeah, baby.
This is Flames Talk with Pat Steinberg and Wes Gilbertson on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Hey, happy Monday. We are underway this hour on Flames Talk with Wes Gilbertson of Post Media. My name is Pat Steinberg, and the Sports Drive is underway on this Monday, January 20th. The Sports Drive for Calgary Lock and Safe. Simplify your life with a security ecosystem. Go to CalgaryLockandSafe.com to request a security audit and get a tailored solution. So, Flames Talk available wherever you get your podcasts. Apple, Spotify, Amazon, Seeker. Go ahead, subscribe. We'd love to have you along for the ride. Flames coming off a 3-1 win in Winnipeg on Saturday, where they survived the Jets, and they got a spectacular performance from their Calder Trophy candidate goalie, Dustin Wolf. In my opinion, the best game he's played in his NHL career. He has been great,
yeah.
But he was next level against the Jets. That guy, and I don't usually like doing these types of things, but when somebody texted in Saturday night on our Flames Talk post game and said that reminded he was Kiprasov-esque, I was like, yeah, he really was. Like, just the feeling that you got, you're like, you know what? You got the one on him, but nothing else getting past him. At no point in that third period did I really feel like the Jets were going to tie it. And not because they weren't pressing and not because they didn't have the Flames on the run, but because Dustin Wolf just looked like the guy. And he looked like he had decided that the door is shut and, yeah, have fun. But I'm not really interested in giving up the next one. And he didn't. And that was a spectacular performance. Good on Dustin Wolf. It's been an awesome season, but I really loved seeing him after a night where a couple of goals got through him. You know, the second and third Blues goals kind of went right through him,
yeah.
Which a goalie never likes. That loss was on far more than just the goaltending, but it's been such a topic in this city all year long that when Dustin has a meh kind of night like he had in the second game against the Blues, it's noticeable. And he responds with that against that team on Saturday night. That was something to behold.
That, and I'm with you. You cringe at the comparison, but that's a little Kipper-like too, isn't it? That you know after a couple goals that he's not going to like. You can probably expect him to be pretty tough to beat in the next one. And I don't think Dustin Wolf has certainly reached that reputation yet, but if that could become part of Dustin Wolf, you know, okay, couple duds, couple groaners, but look out next game. Wouldn't want to be on the other side of this guy next time. Pretty good sign.
So Wolf has now started 11 of the last 15 games, with Saturday's game included. That is also 6 of 7. If he starts on Thursday, as I think you and I are on the same page, he should start on Thursday, and I don't see a world where he won't start on Thursday. If he starts Thursday versus Buffalo, that would be 7 out of 8 and 12 out of 16. Friends, no more clamoring for more Wolf. No more. You can't really be pounding the keyboards on social media saying, why don't they play Wolf more? They've played him since December 14th, 75% of the time. 12 of 16 is 3/4 of all the starts in now more than a month's worth of action. It's happening. They're rolling him like a number one right now. And I don't know if this is going to happen in perpetuity, but for the last month, they have used Dustin Wolf as this team's number one goalie. And generally, outside of, I think, one, the only time Vladar's gotten in is the second half of back-to-back. He did miss a start in there because of the postponed game in Los Angeles, but that was the second half of a back-to-back. Wes, if this split were to continue in the final 37 games of the season, it would be another 27 or 28 starts the rest of the way. So he would be getting, if this kind of ratio continued, either 27 of 37 or 28 of 37, which would get him over 50 starts for his first NHL season. How comfortable with that are we in the second half of this year?
How comfortable with over 50?
How comfortable with, say, 28 of the final 37? That would be 28-9.
Well, it's more, it's certainly more than I would have been, I don't even want to say comfortable with. It's more than I would have been pushing for a few weeks ago. And yet, the reason I would embrace it is because of Dustin Wolf, in large part. These are going to be important games down the stretch. And I think the potential, whether you ultimately sneak into a playoff spot or not, I think the potential of exposing your goaltender of the future to a bunch of really important games at this stage of his career, because he's shown that he's ready for that challenge, I'm all for it. I'd take the training wheels off the bike today and say, give her hell. That being said, I'm not in the camp, A, because I don't think his value is what others perceive it to be, but I'm not in the camp that would also be pushing for a Dan Vladar trade, because I do think you need a veteran insurance policy around. All due respect to Devin Cooley, headed to the AHL All-Star Classic, everything that he's done. I'm not in the camp that would be pushing to move Dan Vladar. And yes, I understand that means probably losing him for nothing on the open market this summer. I'd be fine with that, because I think you need an insurance policy. But if Dustin Wolf, with the way he's performed all season for this team, with the way he's handled a heavier workload, with the fact that this is a team that I don't anticipate is going to have a ton of practice days down the stretch. We've seen Ryan Huska really manage the rest, and that's going to mean a lot of days off. I would be comfortable with in the 50 range. You?
At this point, as long as they were willing to back off if he started to show signs of fatigue, and I honestly can't really see a world where they wouldn't do that, because, you know, they Jordan Sigalet, Jason LaBarber, Ryan Huska, everybody involved in this, have got a pretty good plan, I think, in place, and they're monitoring this stuff. As long as they're willing to, if he is starting to show signs of fatigue, dial it back a little bit, then I've got no problem with this continuing to be the way they go about things. And also, if he continues to play at the same level, you know, if there are signs of fatigue and or if there are signs of the level dropping a little bit with this workload, which I guess could very well be because of fatigue, well, then I think you got to be willing to pivot, and I think you got to be willing to do things a little bit differently. And because we don't know whether or not that is going to happen or not, you can't say definitively, but if they're okay with being willing to pivot, if things start to go sideways just a little bit, then I've got no problem with that, honestly, the rest of the way, because dude's playing out of his mind. And there is a massive value in having a 23-year-old potential franchise goaltender. And honestly, Wes, I think they found their franchise goaltender. And I know that goaltending is stupid and the dumbest position in all of sports to try to project.
Yeah.
But I have not felt this good or confident about a goalie in Flames, in a Flames uniform, that, you know, they've brought in a young goalie. And because, you know, Jacob Markstrom was an established guy. I have not felt this good about a young Flames goalie, a prospect Flames goalie, in my entire time covering this team for a decade and a half now. So, I'm okay with if they continue to roll them the way they've rolled them.
I do think the sort of workhorse ways at the AHL and even the Western Hockey League level allow you to feel a little bit more comfortable playing him more. Like, this is a guy who might not be used to the rigors of NHL travel and the ground covered, but is certainly used to playing a lot of games. And I think the important thing is, this isn't the Flames handing Dustin Wolf more starts and saying, well, you're the future, so no matter how this goes, we're just going to start riding you now. Why wait? We're just going to start now. Here's a stat that underscores that Dustin Wolf is not giving them any choice. Dustin Wolf is 8-2-1 since December 10th. 8-2-1 since December 10th. That's a point percentage of somewhere in the 800s. December 10th is the date I choose because that's Dan Vladar's last win. Dustin Wolf is 8-2-1 since Dan Vladar last won a hockey game. And yeah, there's been some tough assignments in there for Dan Vladar, and there's been, you know, some games that he played better than the group in front of them. But it's been more than a month since he won a game. Yeah. And when you put Dustin Wolf in, what's he doing? He's winning you hockey games. Yeah. And so as you try and chase down a playoff spot, you have to ride the hot hand. And I don't even care who the hot hand is, but right now it's so clearly Dustin Wolf. And I just don't see any signs that you need to dial back. I totally echo what you said. If you see signs of fatigue, you gotta have Dan Vladar. You can't trade Dan Vladar. You gotta have a veteran insurance policy the way I see it. But if that guy's sitting watching from the bench because Dustin Wolf is continuing to play his butt off, all the better.
And here's the other thing, to double back on something that you said. I don't, if this is going to be the workload, and if Dustin is going to continue to earn this much of the ice time, I am fully on board where you are. You can't trade Vladar right now, and not just because of the experience, and not just because you trust him in those spots. I also don't want Devin Cooley in that spot either. Yeah. I want Cooley to be playing a ton in the American League. It shouldn't be much longer until he's back. I think he's ready to start skating again here pretty quick. Got banged up a couple weekends ago. He's missed a little bit of time.
He might have even skated already.
So he's close to returning, or getting closer to returning. It wasn't a major thing. So it shouldn't be too long till they've got Cooley back. And I want him continuing to just rack up the starts and working with Skabski and continuing to build his game. I don't want that job necessarily with him. If you've got Vladar as your backup the rest of the way, and it is 65 to 75% Wolf's net from here until the end of the regular season, I'm fine if they shake hands with Vladar at the end of the year and say, hey, thanks for, you know, great half decade with us. We're going to move on. Good luck to you in free agency. You don't need to trade him for it to be good asset management. It's not poor asset management if you don't trade him between now and March 8th.
If you could get a third round pick for Vladar, he would have been traded long ago. They've been trying to get a third round pick for him for off and on for a long stretch. Mm-hmm. And so the insurance policy at this point is worth much more to me than
Agreed. Whatever
pick you might. Now, can I correct myself? Before someone texts in, they probably already have, about my bad math. 772 points percentage. I think I said over 8 because I'm bad at these things, but 772 point percentage for Wolf since Vladar's last W.
I trusted you because I don't trust myself to do math, so I just always assume that you're the adult.
Yeah. Well, that's...
You let me down.
Yeah.
You let me down.
While we're talking about things that aren't necessarily trustworthy, there was some rumor yesterday that seemed to pick up a lot of steam that the Calgary Flames might be able to solve all their problems by claiming a 38-year-old off waivers.
So this was very strange to me.
So bizarre.
Derek Ryan gets put on, former Flame Derek Ryan, good guy, great member of the Flames during his time, gets put on waivers on Sunday. He is cleared. He was not being claimed by anybody. And all of a sudden, social media blew up. Like, they need to get him. This is the first of all, let me tell you, from what I understand, the Flames, there was not really any thought at all about claiming him. Like, that was not something they thought about. From what I understand, I don't believe there was much talk at all about going to claim Ryan on waivers.
I mean, I would assume Craig Conroy, like I did, checked HockeyDB to see if there was a younger Derek Ryan that everyone might have been referring to. Maybe not, though. He probably knew.
That was never really in the cards on a Flame side of things. I don't think that this was something that, from what I've been able to ascertain, there was not a huge debate going on about should they claim him or not. Derek Ryan is a 38-year-old right shot center who could probably still be a fourth line center in this league, but I don't think now was the time for that player to go out and potentially upset the apple cart in terms of what you got going on with this group right now. And that's not me trying to, you know, cover myself in the Kevin or drape myself in the Kevin Rooney flag at all, because I think there's a real talk and a real conversation about making some changes on the fourth line. But I don't think going out on the waiver wire, bringing in a new personality to a group that's really tight, and doing your arch rival a huge favor.
Yeah.
I don't think it was the time to do it. I was, you know, I know he's a right shot and they are desperate for a right shot center. I get all that. I just don't think that was the guy that you needed to go and use a waiver claim on. Cause so many people are clamoring, more young players, but also go claim the 38-year-olds. Okay. That seems incongruent. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so to peel back a curtain that nobody wants peeled back, you and I, having as you know, few friends as we each do, have been known to text back and forth about the various guys available on waivers. Usually starts with a, would you have any interest in
X,
whomever, right? It was Arthur Kaliev a couple weeks ago. Anyway, yesterday we went through the usual process with Derek Ryan and we were very much on the same page. I understand the appeal of a right shot center. I know that's what's missing. I know we sit here and harp on the face-off numbers and say, okay, well, geez, it sure would be nice to have a righty. But for two reasons. A, Derek Ryan is not the player he was when he was previously in Calgary. He's 38 years old. He's not been penalty killing recently in Edmonton. And that idea of then putting a 38-year-old into your lineup and taking a potential opportunity, not even necessarily from a young guy you have already. Keep scouring for that right-handed shot, but this ain't it. And then freeing up a roster spot, like freeing up a contract slot for your arch rivals to go get whatever flavor of the week, John Klingberg or whoever else might be ready to come off whatever injury absence, whatever it might look like, to free up more contract slots for the Edmonton Oilers just made it less appealing to me. Now, I think we're both in agreement that the Calgary Flames are taking a long look at how they can get more impact out of their fourth line. I do wonder how long it is before we maybe see Dryden Hunt, who's now tied for the AHL scoring lead, not in that center spot, but just trying to change up the mix on that fourth line.
Because I do think there's something to that.
Yeah, but Derek Ryan, with all due respect, former Peter Marr Good Guy Award winner.
Great guy.
At 38, it just never made a lick of sense to me.
No, it was not. I understand the he could take Rooney's spot and be a right shot guy. He's very good in the faceoff dot, always has been. But the other metrics, I don't know how much
lately.
I don't know how much of an upgrade it was going to be. And because of that, the only thing that he would have brought is the right shot. I just wait to see what else happens between now and the trade deadline. That wouldn't have been the one to upset the apple cart. And honestly, I think it would have, because you're adding a new personality into the mix at this time of year. Yeah, this wasn't the time to do it. I think
so, the trickle down is probably a kid back to the farm. I don't think it's as simple as then sending Kevin Rooney down to the minors, although maybe that's what they would have done.
Yeah,
never made a whole lot of sense to me.
Right now, Connor Brown, Corey Perry, Josh Brown, Noah Philp, they're all playing ahead of Derek Ryan right now. Yeah. I get it. Good in the faceoff dot. But let's see if there are other right shot centers that make themselves available between now. Because once you claim Ryan, now you're really putting yourself in and for an organization that isn't in love with having a lot of one-way contracts in the American League,
mm-hmm.
Now all of a sudden you claim Ryan, that jams you up for potentially what if in 3 weeks a right shot center who's 27 gets put on waivers. Now all of a sudden it becomes a little bit more difficult to make that happen.
Or even keeping a contract slot open for the salary dump that you maintain that you're open to.
Yeah.
Right? We know Craig Conroy's willing to park some money if it will result in an asset or you know, result in something that might help, whether it's now or down the road.
As you told me at the draft, he's like, yeah, we'd be certainly open to that for a price. Like, you got to pay a tax. We're gonna tax you, but like, yeah, we'd be open to helping you out. Gotta go a little payday loan.
So I think what we're saying here is right shot center. Interesting. Sixth oldest player in the National Hockey League this season. Not so interested.
He's Wes Gilbertson. My name is Pat Steinberg. We're underway this hour on Flames Talk, and we're coming at you from our Groundworks downtown studio, your local experts for foundation and crawl space repair.
You're locked on Flames Talk, only on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
It's a Monday edition of Flames Talk with Wes Gilbertson. My name is Pat Steinberg. Every Monday, we take a closer look at the Calgary Wranglers, the number one affiliate of the Calgary Flames. And since our last check-in with them, we spoke with Marty Jelena a week ago. And Marty Jelena said, yeah, the weekend against Colorado, not so good, but we're going to get back to playing Wranglers hockey this week. And lo and behold, how about a four-game win streak? Four wins in a row, 5-2 and 4-3 on home ice over Tucson. Then this weekend, 6-5 in overtime over San Diego, 5-4 Sunday over Ontario. And now with that four-game win streak, Wranglers back on top of the American League at 27-12-1. And as we take a closer look at this group, we go down the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline. We check in with assistant coach Brett Sutter, who joined us on the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline. Brett, it's Pat and Wes. And Marty told us, like, hey, we're getting back to Wranglers hockey this week. You win four in a row. How successful were you in getting back to the type of game your group needed to play?
Yeah, I think anytime you can pick up some wins, you're not going to complain too much. Thought we had a couple good home games, and then, it's been a little bit rocky here on the road, but we found a way to win. And sometimes you're not going to argue with that too much, but I still think there's things that we could clean up a little bit until we could truly say we're back to full bore Wrangler hockey.
Also, well, thank you for joining us. I usually say that off the top, but I went right to business.
No manners today. No manners. We're just getting right into it.
Yeah, right to business. So thank you for joining us as well. The two games against Colorado, I know that those games like that don't sit well with the standard this group is set. How much of a kind of a wake-up call were those two losses?
Yeah, you know what? Sometimes it's one thing to lose, but when you lose in a way when you're really not playing the right way, I think it could be a good wake-up call for your group. I think just the way we're built right now and constructed, where we've had a lot of moving pieces and guys having to play higher up in the lineup, we have to play a tighter brand of hockey, and I think that was a good wake-up call for us to get back to playing the way we need to play to win and to have success and getting away a little bit from that run and gun style that I think we were trying to play there for a while. So I think these last few games have been a step in the right direction, and we have to continue going that way.
I know it's been a little while now, a few games without having Devin Cooley, and obviously he's been so huge for your group this year and not too far away from returning, which is good news. But how proud of Connor Murphy and Valtteri Ignatiev? Like, how proud of the two guys that have stepped in have you been here over the last week or so?
Yeah, you know what? I think that's kind of been the name of our game lately is guys stepping up, whether that be forwards having to step up with some of the guys moving on to the Flames or the goaltending with Cool. So they've done a great job. I thought Iggy was great last night. He gave us a chance to win. We definitely got out chance and out shot. So he did everything he could in his power and gave us a chance. And I think that's something that we'll come to expect from all three of those guys.
So it's another game in Ontario on Tuesday, then back on home ice for a little bit against San Diego coming up for the Wranglers. We're talking with Brett Sutter, Wranglers assistant coach, joining us here on Flames Talk. It's Pat Steinberg and Wes Gilbertson on this Monday. Wes?
Brett, I wanted to thank you for joining us in case nobody did yet.
Thanks, Wes. I appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem at all. We're chatting in our in the last hour about Rory Cairns, and a guy who's come up and made an immediate impact, 4 points in four NHL games so far. I don't think anyone's expecting a kid to come up and be a point per game guy at that point, like to produce like that right off the hop. What's put Rory in the position that you've seen him to have success so far this season?
I think Rory's just such a smart player. He's such a student of the game. You know, he's one of those guys that on the bench or in the room between periods, he's always talking to guys about, you know, what he's seeing on the ice and ways that we can get better. And I think that's just showed when he went up there. Like, the NHL is obviously a lot more structure and players that think at a higher pace than the American League. And I think that's his strength. So, very proud of him. He's worked really hard. He's an incredible kid, a great teammate. And it's awesome to see, you know, how far he's came and where he's at now, and he's earned that. So it's been awesome.
I was going to ask you about that part. Trent Cull always talks about the sort of proud papa moments when you've worked with guys at the AHL level and you've seen him go up. And even in your short time coaching, you know, Jacob Pelche had very nice things to say about your impact when he was up earlier this year. Rory Cairns comes up and makes an immediate impact. What have those success stories been like for you now as a coach at the AHL level?
Yeah, it's great. I mean, I don't think it changes too much from when you're an older player on the team. You still get really excited for your friends and teammates going up. So now it's just, it's rewarding to see kids going up that, you know, they want to get better every day. They're, you know, they're doing video with you every day or asking to do extra stuff after practice. It's good to see guys like that get rewarded, guys that are putting the time in and the work in. And Rory's certainly one of those guys, and it makes it even better that he's such a special human on top of that.
With Rory coming up, Dryden Hunt has sort of snuck to the top of the AHL scoring charts on me. At least I didn't necessarily know he was right within striking distance, and there he is, tied for top spot with 40 points. What's been Dryden's impact on that Wranglers group?
He's everything for our group. He's that competitive, emotional guy every night. He drags guys into the fight. He doesn't accept losing at all. And when you talk about you want guys in your team that like to win, you want more guys that hate to lose, and he's one of those guys. So he's been great for us. He was great last night. He's just one of those guys that's pushing himself to get better. He's not a young man anymore, but I think in his mind he's still right there knocking on the door to be the next guy up in the NHL. So where we'd be without him, I don't know, but he's right up there with Rory and all these guys that have had huge impacts for us up front for sure.
How have you seen him? Because you're right, he wants to be the next guy to be called up to the Flames. How have you seen him balance that? Like, he starts the season on a line with Pelche and Cairns, and he has a role in helping those guys kind of stand out for all the right reasons. How have you seen him balance the sort of mentorship with the doing his own thing and trying to get himself back to the NHL?
Yeah, I think for him, it's just like I said, he's so competitive that I don't think he cares whether he's playing with an East Coast call-up or a guy that's right on the brink of going up to the Flames. For him, it's about pushing every guy to be better, and he knows if he can them playing better, and if he's playing better, then our team's playing better, and I think that's just what makes him such a great player for us.
We're chatting with Brett Sutter, Wranglers assistant coach, with us as we check in on the number one affiliate of the Flames. Brett, how weird is it being back in Ontario now? Because you've been there as a player. You went back there as a player last year, so on and so forth, and during your time with the Wranglers. But strange being back in Ontario as a coach, knowing how much time you spent with the Rain?
Yeah, it's a lot easier coming back after you win, even though they kind of gave me a bit of a scare at the end there last night. But it's always special coming to places that you played. I played most of my career here, seeing a lot of familiar faces, you know, underneath training staff and people like that, but also fans that you recognize, and seeing jerseys and stuff in the crowd, it's a pretty cool thing. So Yeah, this organization will always be very special to me, and to come in here and play a good team and beat them makes it that much better.
I talked to you in Penticton, and I don't think I thanked you then either, but I talked to you.
Oh, weird. This is becoming a habit for you here, right? Holy.
I talked to you in Penticton about the transition to coaching and you know, you were just starting and you're like, yeah, it's been really good so far. Now that you're midway through your first season behind the bench though, how's the transition gone?
Yeah, really good. You know, I'm lucky. I've had great people around me to help me whenever I have questions and you know, obviously with Trent going up, we all take on a bigger responsibility. I think that's been something that's been really good for me, getting to, you know, dive in more and you know, do all those things that maybe Trent was doing, you know, take a little bigger part in those roles. So it's been awesome. I'll say it again. I always think it helps when you're on a winning team. I think that makes any coach's life easier. And I'm lucky to have guys like Joe and Marty Jelena and Scaps and Chandler Bigger, everyone around me that helps me every day, and having great players that will listen and willing to work. So it's been awesome.
Well, and you don't usually get in your first year as a coach like this type of turnover. Obviously the unfortunate situation with Brad Larson and his family situation, but that all of a sudden your head coach Trent goes and joins the Flames, and now Joe's working as the head coach. I mean, what is the how smooth has the coaching transition gone from your standpoint?
It's been good. It's been good. I think everyone stepped up big time. Obviously, you know, Joe's the leader of the pack there, but having a guy like Jelly with so much experience come in, it didn't take him long to get acclimated and kind of put that coaching hat back on. And you know, we have a staff that gets along great, works together very well, and we all contribute the best we can. So I think it's been a good transition. The players have been awesome about it. There really was no, you know, stumbling moment where they're waiting to see if Trent was coming back and not coming back. They just grabbed on and then kept on with business, and it's been good.
Brett, you've come from a lineage of, you know, family members who played hockey and then coached hockey. Like, did this always seem like the next step for you? Did you wonder if you'd go into coaching, or did you think this was going to be in your future at some point?
I think I wanted to stay in the game. You know what, I never really thought that far ahead when I was playing, to be honest. I was always kind of one-track mind. I thought it was going to affect my game if I started thinking too far down the road. But yeah, when the opportunity came up and it was with Calgary, it was, you know, it was home for me. It was an organization that I care a lot about. And as long as my family was okay with it and my wife and kids were all in with it, that it was going to be something that I wanted to try. And I think I'm really happy I did. I think it's something that, you know, it's something I can work to get better at every day. And I'm in a place that I love, so it's hard to complain too much.
Does it stir the competitive juices any differently than being a player, or maybe just kind of what you thought it would?
Oh, geez. There's times you want to jump over the board and get out there. Yeah, it's different. It's different for sure. But I think you're just as competitive behind the bench as you are on the ice. Sometimes I think it even makes it harder because you can't go out there and contribute. So you definitely want to do everything you can to help those guys and to give our group the best chance to win. And there's no better place than being in the locker room. So it's pretty special.
So Brett, you obviously, Karen's is up, Pelche's up. I mean, like, It's been one of those years. Walker Dewar's up. You've got a lot of your top scorers up on this NHL roster right now, and that kind of makes it so that there's a little bit more onus on everybody. Wes asked you about Dryden, but how have you liked, whether it be Clark Bishop or Sam Morton or Ilya Solovyov with a big overtime winner? Like, how have you liked the way the entire group stepped up and the balanced scoring that we've seen here over the last week or so?
Yeah, everyone's done a great job. You know, really, we've been dealing with it right from the beginning of the year. I think if you would have looked at, you know, projected lineups a few weeks before the camp started, you had, you know, Justin Kirkland came to us for a couple of days before injuries happened. He went back up. you know, Schwint got put on waivers. We were expecting him to be with us. He gets claimed. And then you have all these guys go up and have success. And all year we've had different guys step up. So to tribute to those guys, they've done an awesome job. Yeah, Clarkey, captain, he's had an unbelievable year. Steps up every night for us, plays hard. Since Rory went up, Sam Morton's playing top line minutes for us. I think it's a great challenge for him. You know, he's playing against top lines every night, and he's finding a way to contribute. There's just so many guys, and it's been awesome. And I think that's something that we just have to continue to push as a team, is everyone has to be ready to take on a bigger role, because with a bigger role comes more responsibilities and playing against better players and different situations. So it's a work in progress every day for us, and it's a challenge that I think is great for the young men and for our team.
You mentioned Clark Bishop, your captain, a few times. How much of a league-leading six game-winning goals is good coaching?
Absolutely none of it. he's a guy, he's another one of those guys, like talking about Hunt, he hates to lose. I think, you know, losing some of those centermen early in the year for us, he had to step up right away and play probably a different role than he's used to playing. He's played top six for us all year, so he's getting a chance to play with some real offensive guys, and he's taking advantage of it. So good on him. We need him to keep it up, and I know that's something he'll do for us.
Brett, you talked about how Ontario gave your group a bit of a scare on Sunday. You've got one more in their building on Tuesday. Tell us about the challenge of taking on the rain again here before you come back home.
Yeah, they're a really good group. They're a big team. They can skate. They defend and check really well, really detailed team. So, you know, we got off to a really good start last game, and then we kind of let them back into it. So for us, it's just about playing a solid game for 60 minutes, keeping the foot on the gas. I know you hear these old cliches all the time, but, you know, against in this division especially, I feel like there's so many good teams that you have to play a good solid 60-minute game every night. So that's something we'll try to do.
You're a coach now. Like, those cliches that you have to work them in more and more as you go forward in the coaching career. You know that, right?
Yeah, I'm gonna have to start watching some old press conferences or something. I sound too much like a player still.
Exactly. Hey, as I always say, I always say, thank you so much for joining us today. No, honestly, great stuff, Brett. Good luck on Tuesday in Ontario, and thanks for doing this afternoon. Really appreciate it, as always, man.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me. I won't forget to say thank you like you guys do, but
don't throw me under that bus. Jeez.
No, have a great night, guys. Thanks for having me.
Be well, Brett. Thank you, man. Brett Sutter is the assistant coach of the Calgary Flames, joining us here, assistant coach of the Calgary Wranglers, joining us here on Flames Talk on this Monday afternoon. Wranglers back on top overall in the American League. One more in Ontario before they're back for some home action. They've got a couple with San Diego coming up after Tuesday's game in Ontario.
I know Brett Sutter is not going to toot his own horn, but you talked to Jacob Pelche when he came up to the NHL. You talked to Rory Cairns. Brett Sutter's working with the forwards, primarily with the Wranglers, and from all accounts, really having an impact in his first year as a coach at that level.
Brett joined us on the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline. Enjoy hockey and football game day specials at 6060 Memorial Drive Northeast. Pickup and deliveries available at Atlas Pizza, 403-248-3344. As we start to wrap things up this hour, Wes Gilbertson on Twitter, at Wes Gilbertson. Best Twitter handle there is. Just, you don't even have to really think about it too much.
Top few hundred thousand for sure.
Shan Virgie, top few hundred thousand producers that you're going to get out there. Thanks to Shan. No, you're the best. Thanks to Shan. So are you, Cam. Shan Virgie, Cam Hughes, our outstanding producers this hour. My name is Pat, and that'll wrap us up on the Sports Drive, brought to you by Calgary Lock and Safe. Simplify your life with a security ecosystem. Go to CalgaryLockAndSafe.com to request a security audit and get a tailored solution.